Tema Talks is brought to you by the Tema Contour Memorial Trust, which is Canada's leading provider of peer support, family assistance, education and training for emergency services, public safety, military personnel, and their families. Check out tema.ca for more information. The views, opinions, and endorsements expressed in each podcast episode are those of the host and the guest alone and do not necessarily reflect the official position of the Tema Contour Memorial Trust. The subject matter of this podcast may be triggering for some listeners. Please take the time to get yourself in a calm and positive mind space before listening so you can get the most out of the podcast. Okay, cue the music and enjoy this episode of Tema Talks.
Hello, people, and welcome to episode 16 of Tema Talks. Our last episode for June, celebrating PTSD Awareness Month. We've put out 8 episodes. We did it. I'm exhausted, but we'll get into that later. Bunch of things I want to talk to you about first. First thing is that Tema Talks podcast has a new home. We are now part of the amazing lineup on the Mental Health News Radio Network. Look it up at mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com. This was started by Kristen Sonata Walker. She's the CEO, and she's amazing. She's put together this network that now has over 30 different shows, all about different aspects of mental health. It's awesome. Go to the website, mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com. You can find out all about the network there. If you click on our shows, you're going to see that Tema Talks is now there. So when you click on Tema Talks, you're going to see the whole lineup of the most recent, the most up-to-date shows, and it also has all the old Up Talks. You're going to be able to listen to everything there. It's your one-stop shop for everything mental health. I'm truly honored and feel blessed to be part of this network. It's really going to help us grow our listeners and our community, try to get out to more people, help more people, which is what this is all about. So big thank you to Kristen. Thank you to Mental Health News Radio Network for bringing Tema Talks on board. All right, next. I want to talk about inclusion. And here's what I mean by that. There are now many different mental health organizations that are all doing good work, great work. There are so many podcasts dealing with mental health now. Many great speakers, many great mental health advocates, so many people doing what they can to help with this issue. And we need all of them. And here's why. It's going to take all different kinds of people, all different kinds of organizations, all different ways of attacking this issue to make a dent. Someone may, you know, if you don't necessarily connect with Tema Contour Memorial Trust, maybe you connect with Wounded Warriors, okay, or maybe you connect with Badge of Life Canada. And that's okay. That's totally okay. As I said, also many podcasts out now. So many more. So if you don't necessarily connect with Tema Talks, that's okay, because there's going to be a show out there to connect with. And where I'm going with this is that we all need to support each other and share each other's work. This is not a competition. It just isn't. Yes, a lot of these organizations rely on charitable donations, Tema Contour Memorial Trust being one of them. I believe there is lots of money to go around. That's my personal opinion. We need to embrace everybody, bring everybody in as much as we can, share everybody's stuff. Now, I had trouble with this when I first started Up Talk Podcast in January of 2016. obviously was really protective of it and probably a little bit more defensive than I needed to be, or a lot more. And when I started seeing other people start podcasts, my first reaction was, shit. What if people start listening to them instead of listening to me? What if they do a better job than I'm doing? Or you know what? Am I not doing a good enough job? Is that why we need more podcasts? Totally wrong way of thinking. And I realized that like right away. But it was just a gut reaction that I think is a normal reaction. But now I'm an advocate for the opposite. I share all the podcasts I can on my Facebook page or on my social media from everybody just because I know that they're going to help somebody. And that's the point. Okay? The point isn't who can get the most listeners, who can have the most followers, you know, who can raise the most money. That's not the point. Those are all nice things. But that's not the point. Okay, this is a human being issue. We're dealing with human lives. We need to, you know, put down our shields and be okay with everybody. You know, we're not going to agree on everything. Obviously, there's organizations that may take a different approach that maybe isn't the approach of the Time of Contra Moral Trust. It's not an approach that they would necessarily agree with or take on themselves, but that's okay. Because that approach, that different approach, may work for somebody. And again, that's the point. All right? So I try to share as much different stuff as I can. As many different perspectives, many different podcasts, organizations, advocate work. And I would challenge other advocates, other organizations, other podcasts to do the same. Share everybody else's work. It's not going to diminish your work or organization at all. It's only going to strengthen its integrity and lend itself to growth. I hope that made sense. Something that I wanted to say. My guest this episode is Lee Ann Daly. She is the Tema Contra Memorial Trust Ambassador for Alberta. Yes, another Alberta person, I know. It's happening. I can't help it. It is the way it is. Okay? Leanne is a paramedic as well as an aggressive mental health advocate with a great story. You're going to love this chat. There's a twist in this chat, and you're going to know it when it happens. It threw me for a loop for a second. It was awesome. It was great. So let's not waste any more time listening to me. Let's get to it.
It was a dark and stormy night. Nor'easter rolling in.
Welcome to the podcast, Leanne. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm really happy to finally get you on. Really happy to learn more about you. I met you briefly or a little bit at the Tema Gala in Toronto, and really wanted to get you on after that, and especially with what happened there with you, which we'll get into that later, but really happy to have you. For those of you and myself who don't know you really well, tell us about you as far as, you know, where you grew up, what that was like for you, and what got you into paramedicine.
Well, I am a born and raised Calgarian, which is becoming very few and far between, as I see most people are kind of moving around these days. And I guess I really kind of got into the helping profession early on. I started lifeguarding, teaching swimming lessons, and then I realized that I really enjoyed the first aid component of it. So as schooling progressed, I was like, well, how could I, you know, do this and maybe make some money out of doing something that I really like? And right. I ended up taking my EMR, subsequently my EMT and paramedic. And I did the paramedic Bachelor of Science and Nursing program at Medicine Hat College because I didn't really know what direction I wanted to go.
Right. So what was that? When would that have been?
So I graduated in 2005.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been doing it for a few years, and I worked prior to paramedicine as an EMT and did some BLS in the province, which I really credit some of my experience to thinking at a basic responder level first before moving on to advanced life support.
Yeah, because you kind of see that, you see two different paths. You see the people that go from zero to hero, just get it all done. And then, and I've known a few of people that have done that, that have worked out really well. I've seen some that haven't. But then, like, I think, like you, I think you get your basic, you work for a while with that, and then move on. Like, I think that's probably, for me, that makes the most sense to me.
For me, it was honestly a financial decision.
Right.
I really had a hard time investing a huge amount of money into something I wasn't really sure, A, that I was going to like or be good at the end. So kind of the step process made sense to me, just try it out and see. I mean, I'd hate to invest $60,000 into an education to get out onto an ambulance to be like, yeah, I don't even want to do this. And then what do you do, right?
Yeah. Now, you mentioned when you started the course, you went into it not really knowing what direction you were going to go with it. At what point did you lock yourself in and did you say, this is what I want to do?
I think I really enjoyed the atmosphere of EMS, kind of the family dynamics and the variability of things. So I didn't want to work in the hospital. I wanted to be out and have variety. So that was, I think, once I worked for a little while in different settings and then practicum, that was kind of when I really decided, you know, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. So you graduated, and then where did you start working right away? You probably already said it, and I just forgot. But
oh, yeah, no. So when I graduated as a paramedic, I was already working for Calgary EMS as an EMT at the time. Yeah. So I just naturally progressed into working there, and then I'd worked a little while as well in Medicine Hat, where I went to school doing some ground ambulance and fixed wing, getting some experience doing that. And then I worked mostly in downtown Calgary for the majority of my advanced life support career.
What do you remember about those early days as far as your thoughts about your work, you know, and your mindset going into it? Do you have any memories like that as far as that?
Well, I really remember thinking that every day was going to be like life-saving, life-changing, and that I was going to get to use all these super cool skills that I learned.
Right.
And it wasn't really like that.
No, it's not.
No.
When did you realize that?
I'd say, like, I mean, you realize it right away, but then I think it doesn't really set in, and it really affects how you start thinking about yourself, your patients, and your career. I'd say probably about year 4 or 5.
Wow, yeah. Now, how do you think you did as far as earlier in your career as far as taking care of yourself?
Well, I was quite fortunate that actually my kind of introduction into mental health awareness was fairly early on in my career, as I was a scholarship recipient from Tema Contra.
Right.
When I was a student. So I'd had a lot more insight into post-traumatic stress, critical incident stress, occupational stress injuries, as well as self-care and kind of that aspect of things than I would say a lot of my peers, just because I'd done the research, and I'd been to Toronto, I'd met with Vince and some other scholarship recipients. So, you know, in comparison to some of my colleagues, I would say that it was really good. In comparison to now, I don't think it was good enough.
Right. Yeah, and at what point did you start to, did things start to go downhill for you, or did things start to get tough?
Well, at first I would say that it wasn't even tough or downhill. Things just started to change.
Right, okay.
So I went from, I had started seeing a different light of myself, and as I was looking at things a different way. So how I observed my patients or the system that I was working in, and then things also that were completely not work related in my daily life, I started, you know, thinking about things that I would never think about before, or being bothered in certain situations. And so that's when I kind of was like, oh, well, what's going on here? Is it, you know, am I finally just really exhausted because, you know, I'm working to pay off student debt. I want to buy a house, and so I'm picking up overtime shifts. And am I maybe just working too much, or what's going on? And I would say really the turning point for me was when one of my relatives said at like a family dinner, oh, you're really hardened and calloused, and you have a dark view on everything. Oh. And to me, I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that I had a dark view. I just felt that this was the way it was, because this is the way society has been presented to me, and this is the interactions I've had.
Right. So did you blow that off, or did you take that to heart?
At first, I kind of blew it off. I was more annoyed. I was like, well, yeah. You know.
What's your problem?
Yeah, and more like, okay, well, now that you're on your pedestal over here in your perfect life in suburbia, and you haven't had these interactions, then, like, maybe that's why you don't feel that way. And then I guess things just kind of progressed, and I started talking to some of my colleagues that had some of the same experiences as me, and they didn't have the same views. So then I really started to begin to question myself and kind of my morality and what was going on there.
Right. So how long after that, between that and you getting diagnosed with PTSD, how big of a span was that?
I would say there was about 4 years.
Right.
And then really the tipping point for me was kind of a cumulative series of things,
right,
with maybe one, you know, big trigger that kind of tipped me over the edge, I would say. And from the point from, I would say, when I really felt that I had lost control and that I was completely not myself, even different from, I'd say, getting into emergency services changes who you are from before you were in emergency services. But
right,
it's not always necessarily a bad change or something that makes you unable to cope with your life. I found that I was in this spiral of negativity and not being able to cope with what was going on, and having bizarre behaviors and not sleeping and being angry and having problems in my relationship. And I would say from that kind of critical point to when I got diagnosed was probably at least about 2.5 years.
And for that 2.5 years, were you trying to get help, or did it escalate to the point where you got diagnosed and got, you know what I mean, and got help then, or were you trying to figure it out that whole 2.5 years?
I would say for about most of the 2.5 years, I was struggling. I was just struggling. I couldn't really figure out what was going on. I knew something wasn't right, but I didn't know what wasn't right.
Right.
And then I started to self-identify that, if, you know, I think that this is related to work. And so I started trying to get help, and then I kept hitting a bunch of different roadblocks,
right,
whether it be like organizational roadblocks or personal ones that I set up, that I didn't even realize maybe I was setting up at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think we all do that. Sometimes we can be our worst enemy, and
mm-hmm,
especially with first responders, we are more than not, we are our worst enemy, especially when we need help, I find. So, were you married at this point in 2011?
I was not, no.
You weren't. But were you in a relationship with your husband, with your now husband?
No, I was not.
No, okay. So when did he come into the picture?
He came into the picture after my diagnosis,
okay,
when I was kind of doing some soul searching and some revitalization of myself, and I decided to take a break from my current working environment and
right,
remove myself and put myself in a completely different environment, because I felt that some of what I was experienced trigger-wise, and not being sure whether I could actually continue to do my job was situationally based. So I thought, right, you know, I'm going to try doing this somewhere else and see if that maybe changes things. So I met him on the job in a different location.
Perfect. So I kind of pulled you ahead too fast with that. So I'm going to go back a little bit. So you get diagnosed. What are some of the things after your diagnosis, some things that, you know, that you went through, whether it be different types of therapies, things that worked for you, or some things that you found that didn't work really well for you, knowing that everybody's different and different things work for different people, obviously.
Yeah. So I trialed a couple of different things. I tried different therapists, different treatments, as well as medication, which I was very resistant to trying.
Right.
And so what I found worked for me was a combination of therapies. So finding a therapist that was a really good fit, that understands first responders, that's worked with first responders.
Yeah.
And
did you go through a few before you found that? How many?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah, okay. I would say about four.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And varying different, I guess I would say, levels of education for providers. So right. I tried psychologist, psychiatrist, social work, just because everyone has a different view on how they, as their profession, can help. And I wasn't really sure what I needed either, because right. I was really struggling, and it wasn't really clearly laid out either that, you know, like, I'm really good at following linear direction and
right.
Finding a problem and fixing it when I know the path to fix it. But I felt like in the fog that I was in, I couldn't do that. So I kind of just was putting feelers out everywhere, trying to see if I could be helped, because at that point I didn't really think I could be.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So then you have this change of environment for work.
Mm-hmm.
Right, eventually.
Yep.
And so talk about what you're doing or what that change was for you.
So I had two changes. So I took some time off of work,
right,
as a paramedic for Alberta Health Services, and I went and I did some contracting work with Health Canada on isolated reserves in northern Alberta.
Oh, okay.
So that was where I ended up meeting my husband. He's a police officer.
Right, and that's why I brought up, everybody's going, why did you even bring the husband up? But that's why,
yeah,
is because
yeah.
he is a police officer, and that's an interesting dynamic.
It is,
coming
yeah.
into a relationship with another first responder who does have a PTSD diagnosis. You know, how was that, basically?
Initially, he didn't really know about my diagnosis,
right.
Because, I mean, it wasn't like I had the big neon sign over my head saying, I have PTSD.
Yeah.
But kind of as our relationship grew, I actually started to see some signs in him that I was concerned about, and so we ended up talking about just both of our mental health in general and things that maybe had affected us in our career. And it was actually really healthy because I got to ask him some questions that I had never had answered from more of a policing aspect of things. And he got to ask me questions from more of a medical side of things that, you know, maybe things that had bothered him from like scenarios that
right.
had been years prior. And then from that, then I ended up disclosing to him that, oh, well, no, I'm doing therapy and treatment right now for myself, and part of this is, you know, to kind of work in a different location. And at the time we didn't really plan on getting married, so he was kind of like, all right, well, that's great, good for you, like
yeah.
let's
yeah.
hang out, like, whatever.
Yeah. Typical boy.
And then
that's a typical
yeah.
boy. Yeah, absolutely.
he was like, great, yeah, you do you, and don't cry too much over here, and it'll be fine.
yeah, that's right. So you went through recovery, obviously. What are some things that you now incorporate into your daily routine that are geared towards, you know, you're geared towards your mental wellness that you've learned through this process?
Well, I have my list of things that I should be doing.
Yeah,
and then there's the list
too.
Of things that the things that I do do.
Okay.
And I would have to say that I caution people to say that I am still recovering. I don't ever feel that I am 100%.
Right.
I think that the way PTSD recovery goes is that there's this ebb and flow. So there are times when things are great, and then there are times when things are not as great, and it's a constant process of work. So that's how it's been for me. So what I have to do daily will change depending on where I am in that cycle.
What are some of your favorite go-tos if you're having that tough day?
So this is going to sound totally weird, and people are going to think that I'm like way out there. So my number one go-to is I wear my husband's deodorant.
I was not prepared for that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that.
So, like, not his underwear or anything like that, which, I mean, if that works for people, great.
yeah.
No, I tried it and it didn't, so I went with the deodorant. So for me, I have – a lot of smells are triggers for me.
Okay, right.
And as part of my therapy, we try to identify different things that could A, be triggers, or help to center or calm you. And I really wanted to work on finding something that I could use while I was at work. So I, you know, early on found that I was able to kind of bring myself out of a flashback or stressful situations or center myself if I wasn't at work. I found that I was able to do, you know, that at home or in the ideal scenario in the therapist's office, that wasn't, you know, it was challenging, very challenging at the beginning. And then as I worked through it, I was able to do it. But I had a lot of fear and anxiety about working.
Right.
And if I was presented at work with a trigger, how I might, kind of help myself without having to, you know, completely disengage from the scenario.
Right.
So what we found was that having a positive smell associated would help bring me out of a negative association quicker.
Right.
So by wearing his deodorant, so kind of a bunch of different things, that as I would get stressed and I would start sweating, and then that would actually, like, make the deodorant work, because then you would smell it more. And then, oh, people are going to laugh. If I was in, a very stressful situation, I could, like, casually just smell my armpit. And, like, you know, you're on the scene. Nobody really notices if you're just, like, smelling your armpit.
And that would remind you of him? Is that the calming effect?
Yeah, so it would just, so that would just help, like, remind me of a place where I felt really, like, secure and safe. And, you know, like, for me, that works. I know some people might, like, smell coffee or whatever makes them happy. And it's not, like, any kind of deodorant. I don't just go around sniffing random people's armpits and being like, oh, yeah, now I'm really
thinking
calm.
Of the Saturday Night Live skit whenever you say that. I am sure that no other guest is going to give me this coping mechanism. This is gold. This is awesome.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? It makes sense, though. When you explain it, it totally makes sense 100%.
Yeah, and it's just something, and it's also a way, I don't know if when you worked, like, when I worked back in the day, we actually used to have, like, Vicks in our kits. So when we went to
Vicks
a dead body or something, right?
Yeah. I used to carry Vicks with me.
Yeah, so now, like, when I'm sick, I don't want to smell Vicks, because that grosses me out, because it reminds me of gross things.
Right.
But we used to have that to, like, try to cover up the smell, so now I just have, this is, like, my smell of things. If I'm bothered by it, because for me, the PTSD, you never really know when something's going to trigger you.
No.
So when I, when I returned to work, I wore his deodorant for quite a long time. Or if, I just recently came back to work after maternity leave. So I was gone for a year, and I had a lot of anxiety around returning back after that. And so for the first little while, I just wore his deodorant like every day, because I didn't know what was going to bother me and what wasn't.
Right. Man, that's awesome. I so was not prepared for that at all. That's so cool. No, it totally makes sense. Yeah. Totally does. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's my little insider trick and what works for
that's
me.
That's way inside. Hopefully. Crazy inside. Good. Love it. You're only going to get that here. I guarantee it. All right. So let's talk a little bit about why you were at the Tema Gala in Toronto.
Okay.
All right. Talk about that.
So as I spoke before, I've kind of been involved with Tema for quite some time now, originally being a scholarship winner. And then after that, I just was really interested in Vince and the organization, and I felt that as a student, you know, we were really lacking in kind of being prepared for the job in our own health. And we train for scenarios, and we, you know drugs, and we know, you know, if this happens, then you do this. But then I felt that once I actually started working, that there was kind of a gap of things that I wasn't prepared for. And I really felt that Vince and the Tema organization was really trying to help bridge that and, you know, focus on the education piece and helping people before things became a problem, as opposed to being reactionary. And a lot of our world has turned into, I call it drive-through medicine. So you call an ambulance because, you know, you want this pill and you want it fixed now. I want to go to McDonald's and I want to get this, and I want my Starbucks coffee like this. And I felt that Vince's organization was really trying to do the opposite of that and front load people with building the resiliency and their skills so that people could go into this job knowing that, you know, I'm going to be exposed to things and I'm going to have experiences because that is the job, but it doesn't necessarily need to negatively affect me. Or if it does, then I'm going to know kind of what steps to go about to help myself so that I can continue helping others.
Yeah.
And then, so I did some speaking for Vince in Western Canada, and I was a recipient of the Public Service Award from them as well, and I just was really trying to get the message out. And then Vince approached me and said, you know, we're doing this ambassador program where we have people in different areas across the country representing Tema so that we can grow the organization and we can really tailor what we want to do to the area and their needs. Because what Alberta needs is different than what Quebec needs, is different than what Newfoundland needs. And so by having somebody who is living, breathing the culture in that area, then they can kind of help, you know, direct your colleagues as well as kind of help influence where the organization can direct their energy and their resources. Mm-hmm. So in Toronto, I accepted a position as the Alberta ambassador so that I could continue the great work that Tema does here in Alberta and Western Canada,
and you're part of
and
a
just
very
really
special
leak
group.
Up.
Part of a very special group of ambassadors. That's, you know, really special.
Yeah, I have a new family of my Tema ambassador family, and I find that every ambassador is so unique and different.
They are, totally.
And brings just a totally different perspective on things with really the same focus and the same energy for such a great cause.
Totally. So was that your first gala?
That was my third gala.
Third gala.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, no. It was my best outfit.
Oh, nice.
Like, that's what matters, right?
Nice.
But, yes, no, it was my third gala. But it has really changed. And that was actually quite lovely to see the support and how much things have grown. Because the first gala I went to, was substantially smaller.
Really?
It was a lot smaller, and it was so great to just see the people coming from all over the place. I mean, there was people there from the Northwest Territories and the Yukon and the United States, all coming to kind of pool their knowledge and experience to help their colleagues.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I think that we can get so much bigger, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's so much more room to make this, you know, even bigger than it is, I think. So now you're working, I'll take you away from the gala now. And congratulations, by the way, on the ambassador
thing. Oh, thank you.
That is wicked. So now you're working in a different position. What are you doing now?
I am a community paramedic in Alberta.
Wicked. So what does that mean?
So that means that we provide advanced level care to complex, chronically ill people with, basically we bring the hospital and the assessments and things to people who maybe wouldn't otherwise be able to engage the healthcare system. So seniors, post-transplant people, vulnerable and addicted and mental health clients and people who live in, you know, seniors housing who maybe don't have family physicians. So it's all about treating the patient where they're at and getting them the most appropriate health care. So whether that means through a family doctor, eMERGE, nurse practitioner, a community paramedic, however their health care is best provided to them, that's what we do.
So how do you find that in contrast to the stereotypical street medic doing what you're doing now as far as your mental wellness goes?
It presents a new challenge. So in a way, it's a great change. Some of the triggers that I would have working on an ambulance, I don't have because I don't have those daily interactions.
Right.
I don't have lights and sirens, and I don't work off of a dispatch type system. But then with that, you know, getting rid of those brings new challenges in that we do palliative end of life care. We follow patients more closely, so we have relationships with them.
Right.
And you're working by yourself. So I find that sometimes there's a lot more internal pressure that you put on yourself than you would if you're in a partnership where you can bounce ideas off people and have somebody see the exact thing that you're seeing at the exact time and, you know, have a discussion about that. We don't have that luxury. And then also we're quite busy. And so with the way our shifts overlap, I could go a whole shift without seeing another community paramedic. So sometimes it's quite isolating. So there's those challenges that, you know, you have to kind of work around that. I think when we first started that, we didn't consider that. And so some of the therapy that I now as part of my constant growth and resilience is to work on some of, I would say, my new traumas that have come from that. They're not the same, and maybe not as graphic, or but just to be cognizant of the fact that I am still continually traumatized at work, it just in a different way.
Right, that makes sense. How would you say, Leanne, how are you doing now? If you were to,
I would say that I'm doing really good. I'm happily married. Perfect. I have a child. I, you know, live my life to the fullest. is it easy every day? No.
No, you're going to have bad days.
Yeah, and I think when I first entered, you know, treatment, like when I first was diagnosed and they're like, hey, you have PTSD, here are some things we're going to do. I was like, okay, great. I'm going to do this and I'm going to get fixed and then I'm going to come out of the other side. And that's, you know, it's like when you break your leg, you right. wear the cast, you take the pills, you get the x-ray, you do the physio, and then you're done.
Right.
And it hasn't been like that for me.
Right.
So I would say I'm doing great. I'm recovering. I am nowhere near the way I was when I was struggling. I'm definitely not struggling, but it is a constant process, and that's yeah. just something that I didn't know going into it.
Yeah, and there's no way for us to even be prepared for it. There isn't until you're faced with it. Unfortunately, that's the thing. What are there any TEMA or mental health related events that you have coming up in your area?
Yes, yeah, so actually in July we're partnering up with the Edmonton Police and they're having a rodeo, and TEMA is going to be one of the recipients of the fundraising that they're doing, and it's for all first responders.
Sweet.
So that will be posted on the Edmonton Police Association's website as well as the TEMA's website, and I'll be there and I'll have some information about some of the work that TEMA's doing, some of our research, as well as, you know, people just want to stop by and chat. And then we are working on a few more other specific kind of Alberta-related projects. We would really like to get a showing kind of, you know, in the major cities of the documentary, The Other Side of the Hero. So
right.
We have had a few showings already, but we would, you know, like to get more and make that available to people. And then we're also looking at, you know, partnering with some of the other agencies that are working in Alberta so that we can spread the word and kind of pool our resources so that we can get people the help that they need and the education that they want. And, Alberta is one of the largest utilizers of the Wounded Warriors Fund to help supplement, people either benefit or lack of mental health coverage. So,
oh, so the Peer and Family Support Fund.
Yeah, and
right.
so a lot of people in Alberta have been utilizing that, and some of that is just the way benefits here have been designed. They don't have as much mental health coverage as some of the other areas of the country, and
okay.
so, you know, that's something that TEMA's supporting people in, and yeah, so we're looking to raise money to help continually fund that so that we don't have to turn people down.
That's awesome. I mean, when I first started UpTalk podcast, because that's where I started back in 2016, I talked to my first couple guests from Western Canada, from Alberta, there was a sense that there wasn't a whole lot going on as far as mental health advocacy, and TEMA really hadn't been out there yet for the most part. But now, like, you guys are on fire. Like, there's so much. I talk to Teresa Coulter all the time. She's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And she mentioned the other day, she said, like, man, like, all your guests are from Alberta, like, recently. and she's right. A lot of them have been, and it really seems to be, you know, in the country, it seems to be a hotbed right now of awesome people, awesome mental health advocates who are telling their story, who are out there, you know, doing the good work that needs to be done. And it's just, it's awesome to see.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of that is a generational change, right? We're getting you know, rid of and breaking down the stigma, and so that, you know, some of the people are coming forward now, which I think for the longest time, you know, people, you were suffering in silence, and so it's really great that doesn't have to happen anymore, and that steps are being taken by organizations and employers too. I mean, Alberta Health Services and the different policing and fire organizations are all trying in various different ways to make a change.
Yeah. No, it's great. Leanne, before we say goodbye, I'm going to ask you this question. So if there's someone listening right now who is struggling in any way whatsoever, what would you say to them?
I guess I would say a few things. So first of all, I would say that you're not alone, because when you're struggling, it really does feel like that sometimes. And I would say that, reach out to somebody, TEMA or any organization, because there is help there, and people are wanting to help you. And then be strong. So it's hard and it's tough and it's not always straightforward, and you just have to be the best advocate for yourself, because you might go to the first therapist and it doesn't work out. Well, that doesn't mean that the next therapist won't. You might find somebody the next time or the next time. Like for me, it took 4 times, and now I have a great therapist, and we do great things, and I am where I am today because of that, just that ability to keep driving forward, because you are amazing and you are where you are because of the strength you have.
Yeah. Well,
so that's, more than one thing, but
that's okay. No, that's fine. That's perfect. That was awesome. Leanne, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It's been awesome talking to you. I'm pretty sure, I'm going to say right now, that you have the most unique coping mechanism I will ever hear on the podcast, period. The prize is yours. It's done. And it was so awesome. It was so great. But
I should start marketing deodorant or something like that.
Yeah,
become a millionaire.
You gotta do it. But all joking aside, thank you for your work. Congratulations on the TEMA ambassador position.
You.
Like, welcome to the TEMA family. As you and I both know, it's an incredible family of really unique, special human beings. I know you're going to do great work. If any other events that you have that are in your area, please let me know, and I'll pump them out as best I can. But it was certainly a pleasure having you on.
Oh, and thanks for having me, and maybe we shall do this again.
Absolutely. For sure we will. But listen, until then, take care of you and your family, and all the best. And if I can ever do anything for you, let me know.
All right, great. It was nice chatting with you.
It was awesome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now my shift is finally over. I got to deal with what's by.
Bet you didn't see that coming, did you? I didn't. That was so awesome. Hope you enjoyed that chat. I loved it. Thank you to Leanne for taking the time out to talk with us. That was great. Okay, people. That wraps up PTSD Awareness Month. 8 episodes. And so far, 16 episodes this year. And I'm tired. It's a lot of work, but I truly love doing it. I'm going to take a little break now. I'm going to take July and August off and spend some downtime, any downtime I can with the family when I'm not working, and a chance for me to recharge a bit, and then start hitting it hard again in September. I say that, but we never know what could happen. You never know what could happen. You may see an episode, but I don't think so. If you do, it'll just be a surprise one. Definitely nothing planned. I'd love it if you emailed me or Facebook messaged me, got me on Twitter or Instagram, and let me know what you think of these. Or let me know of subjects that you'd like me to talk about, go on a rant a little bit about, just to see what my opinion is of them. Let me know about guests that you think I should have on. I need your guys' help to keep this going. I really do. But thank you for everything that you've done so far. Before the summer break, I want to certainly take time out and thank Vince and everybody at the TEMA Conference Memorial Trust for handing this podcast to me to run with their name on it. And I'll tell you, they really don't filter me at all. They let me talk about whatever it is I want to talk about, which is nice in this day and age. And I want to thank them very much. I really appreciate it. Most of you listeners know how I feel about Tema. They saved my life. And everything I do for them is to pay them back for that. And I'll never be able to do enough. Love them. Big thank you to them. Thank you to my wife Amanda and my daughter Julia, who, you know, allow me to take time away from them in order to do these podcasts. You know, can't thank them enough either. Without their support, I wouldn't be able to do this. So thank you. Thank you to our listeners, every one of you. You're awesome. You know, I love you all. Please continue to do what you can to share the podcast, give me feedback, leave ratings if how you listen allows you to do that. It's really important to leave ratings. Really important. Did I mention that? I have. Please do it. Big thanks to all my 16 guests that I've had so far. Actually 17, when you also include the Tema Talk side chat that I did. So thank you. It's been great. I still have amazing guests that are waiting very patiently to come on. Tons of them. There's no end in sight. I could probably plan it all out and have it all, you know, have all the podcasts for next year done too. That's how many. There's just so many cool people to talk to. That's what I'm so astonished with every time I do a podcast episode, is that there are just so many cool, amazing people, and we need every single one of them. So it's great. So thank you to everybody. There's just, I know I'm forgetting people, but there's just so many people to thank. Oh, and obviously, thanks again to the Mental Health News Radio Network, who's now brought us into the family, which really is going to broaden our listener group and puts me in great company with so many mental health podcasts and show producers. It's awesome. Really excited about it. All right, before I go, I obviously need to remind you that you can golf with Team Tema. Come and golf with myself, Kevin Davison, and Nova Scotia MLA David Wilson, who's a former paramedic and a huge mental health advocate. We need someone to complete our foursome for the Help Our Heroes charity golf tournament, September 29th, Granite Springs in Halifax, an event put on by Bobby McKenzie, Halifax firefighter, built like a superhero, awesome dude, and all proceeds go to the Tema Contra Memorial Trust. So, if you want to golf, if you like golf, and you're going to be in the area or can get yourself there September 29th, all you have to do is this. Email me, tematalks@tema.ca. Email me a screenshot. If you don't know what a screenshot is, ask your kid. They're going to know. Give me a screenshot of you following us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Either one of those. Any one of those. Okay? Also, email me what you do on a regular basis to maintain your mental wellness. And also let me know what your favorite episode of the podcast was and why. That's it. It's really easy. On August 1st, I'm going to take the people that emailed, going to draw a name. That person's going to get to golf with us at an amazing event for no charge, other than getting yourself there, bringing your gear. That's it. So please do it. The Facebook page contest continues to roll along. We're over 800 people now, 800 likes, which is great. On the way to our goal of 1,000, once we get there, you know what's going to happen. We're going to draw 5 names for 5 Tema swag bags. Okay? So continue to share the podcast if you already like it. I mean, share the page, I should say. Continue to share the Facebook page if you already like it. If you're listening and you haven't seen the Facebook page, check it out, Tema Talks Podcast, and let me know what you think. like it. If you would, that would be awesome. Everybody's in on this. All 1,000 names will be in on this, so it's all good. As always, check out tema.ca for more info on what we do. And I think that's about it, guys. I'm off for the summer. It's been awesome. I hope you guys have a great summer. I want to hear about it. I love hearing from you guys, okay? So, until I talk to you again, take care of yourself and each other. More love, less judgment.
'Cause we ain't superheroes, we're just ordinary people trying to make a difference and the first on every scene. And it's a heavy, heavy burden to carry all this hurting when you can't unsee the things you've seen. It keeps going on. When those sirens are gone, it keeps going on. When those sirens are gone.